Welcome to this week's Henchmen of Comics. I'm Alex Ashback.
And I don't care if it's wrong or if it's right. Until my ship comes in, I live night by night. I'm Matt. What's up, buddy?
Nothing much. Congratulations that you live night by night.
Yeah, thank you. That is a song lyric from a band, as always. Typically, you would try and jump in and say who it is. But by the blank expression on your face, I'm guessing there is nary a guess coming my way.
I'm going to guess it's Steely Dan.
Well, you son of a bitch. It is by the band Stolen Daniels.
Which is a Steely Dan cover band.
Yep. It's from their album, Illogical Bread Twists.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's good. They just basically, everything's Steely Dan, but the opposite.
Exactly.
Yeah. Except for their first name, Stolen Daniels. That's just an elongated version of Steely Dan. But instead of Pretzel Logic, they did
Illogical Bread Twist.
Yeah. Illogical Bread Twist. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. That's just naturally what they do. They get down like that. They're crazy. They're zany.
Is Pretzel Logic one of the best album names of all time?
I think it is.
Yeah.
It's very great. And then the album cover is good too. It's just some old dude. Looks like he's in Chicago handing out pretzels.
I think we should do a Dirty Work podcast. I don't mean the album. I mean the movie.
Well, Dirty Work's not an album, but...
The song. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But not even talking about the song, just the movie itself.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Done.
Yeah. It's Chris Farley's best movie.
Without a doubt. Yeah. I don't think that that's debatable.
No.
Yeah. I don't think there's anybody on this earth that would debate that Dirty Work is Chris Farley's best film.
Probably one of Artie Lang's top 25 films.
Private Parts number one.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah. Which is also Paul Giamatti's best film of all time, too.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's that, then the Holdovers.
Oddly enough, Howard Stern's eighth best film.
Yeah, Howard Stern has made some bangers. Yeah. That guy doesn't fucking miss.
No, yeah. He's basically the Terrence Malick of acting.
Wow. The directorial deep cuts, my friend. I don't love Terrence Malick.
That's fair. Is it because, like, you saw Badlands, or, like, that title's too spooky for me? If it was called Goodlands, I would be
Badlands is fine. I don't even think Badlands is that great.
You don't want 3 hours of just Martin long Sheen and establishing shots? Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. I honestly do wish it was a shorter movie.
Sure, but I think that can be said of every Terrence Malick film.
Oh, my God. Every Terrence Malick film needs to be cut by about 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah,
that's fair. Think. Yeah. Then Blue Line. Yep.
Yeah. Tree of Life or Foundation, over that which one? Tree of Life, that's what it was. Yeah.
It's Thin Red Line, not Thin Blue Line.
No, very different.
They're both movies. Yeah. They're very different films.
Do you have any news for us?
I do have some news for you today. But the first bit of it is, I'm very clearly a dad now. I have no children, but I like Steely Dan. I've been listening to a lot of Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. I'm an old human now.
Did you watch? The movie that came out a few years ago.
Dune 2?
No. About the British kid who loved Bruce Springsteen.
No, I did not. And in fact, I actually remember you telling me that movie was great.
It is an incredible movie.
I remember responding to you, fuck that. Bruce Springsteen sucks. Yeah. I'm not going to watch that movie.
Yeah.
And now I am choking on my words and I want to go see this movie. What's it called? Blinded by the Light?
Blinded by the Light. Thank you. You also need to watch, since you're on a Springsteen kick, a film called Thunder Road by Jim Cummings.
Is that based on the song Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So you need to watch both of those films. They're both incredible films.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm giving you homework to expand your love of Bruce Springsteen.
Have you seen Dune 2? And I know the answer to this.
Yeah, because you know
just talked about this
affair. Yeah.
I want to talk about it for just a second. I won't say any spoilers or anything. Everybody needs to go watch this movie. Mm-hmm. It is one of the greatest sci-fi films of all time. It is. Okay. It just is. It's fact. I think I said to you in a quote, it is arguably the most beautiful science fiction film I've ever seen.
Are you just saying that because Paul Atreides just starts humming Born in the USA to himself as he's walking across the desert?
I mean... Yeah, but that's a separate thing. That's a spoiler, and I wasn't going to give those.
The power of record label still just getting their artists in the song.
Columbia, man. They got their hooks and everything. I got some news for you, though. Your best friend in the whole wide world, Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah.
He had a great couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah.
He had a first Pearl, look I think, deal.
Is,
yep.
Okay.
Getting he had a first look deal with Amazon.
Yeah.
To like, they're developing Pearl.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah.
And Murder, Inc.
Great. But Bendis's, especially Bendis's independent books, are just prime for TV shows. We talked about this. Ed Brubaker is another person that like we feel like his material is ripe to be adapted in television.
Yep.
So, but I'm excited for it. I think Amazon, for the most part, has done really well with the comic book adaptations. Paper Girls got canceled. You and I both like season one of Paper Girls, even with the changes.
Speaking of Brubaker, doesn't he work high up in Marvel film now?
I don't know. I know that Brubaker co-wrote that TV show on Amazon that was done by, what's his name, Nicholas Refn, the drive guy.
Oh, Fleabag?
Yeah.
He's the Fleabag guy?
Yeah, he's the Fleabag guy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Fleabag's great.
Ed Brubaker starred in Fleabag.
Yeah.
Wrote Fleabag.
Yeah.
He played the sexy priest as well, too.
Ah, that's wonderful. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2026 gets a sequel.
Yeah, cool. Animation takes a while, so I'm fine with that window as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The children will be old by then.
Yeah.
They'll be listening to Steely Dan and Bruce Springsteen.
As we always say in this podcast, fuck the kids. But not in an unhealthy, illegal way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more like fuck them kids.
Yeah.
Fuck them kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not like,
Fuck is a very versatile word.
It's a great word.
Mm-hmm.
It has 1,000 different meanings.
This is now a linguistics podcast.
Did you ever watch The History of Swear Words?
Yeah, I did.
I watched an episode. It was pretty solid.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'll never watch it again. And I've completely forgotten everything about it, aside from the fact that Nicolas Cage hosted it.
If you want a history show,
that was a pandemic watch, I think.
There's a much better history show called Kunk on Earth.
Oh, I thought you were going to say,
absolutely.
Yeah,
never mind.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Especially if you want to hear about the German techno anthem. What is it?
Pump Up the Jams?
Pump Up the Jams. Thank you.
How could you forget?
I mean, I was singing the song in my head trying to get there. I swear to you.
Because you knew all the lyrics before it gets to that part.
Yeah, 100%. EA. This is adjacent news.
Uh-huh.
There's EA is laying off 670 people.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, right? But it's canceling the new Star Wars FPS that wasn't even announced.
Yes, but there's another Star Wars game that's still in production by them. And the good news is they're still making the college football game that's coming out this year.
Yeah, NCAA 25. Yeah. It's been on Alex and I and pretty much anybody I know's calendar for years.
Exactly.
It's more heavily anticipated than the new Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I think it's more heavily anticipated than Deadpool and Wolverine.
It's not close.
Yeah.
It's NCAA 25.
Exactly.
Yep. Have you pre-ordered yet? I hope it doesn't sell out.
Yeah. Yeah, I prefer a digital copy because I was really afraid of those digital copies because it's being long gone.
In the dumbest move of James Gunn's DC career, Superman Legacy has now changed its name to
Superman. Yeah.
Which, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I know.
A, I don't care.
Yeah.
B, I think it's kind of dumb.
They should have done they should have had Superman Legacy, but done it in that SpongeBob thing where it has SpongeBob with eyes plugged out and like every other letter capitalized in lowercase. Yeah. And just have that be the poster.
Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, man. I felt like a dumb consumer when I read that. I was like,
yeah,
I can handle it being Legacy. I know.
Yeah.
James, I can. Yeah. I really can.
Yeah.
He shared artwork of his inspiration for the film.
Yeah.
Does that inspire you in any way?
No. I know the logo is the Superman Kingdom Come logo, which is neat. But that doesn't mean to me that this is going to be Kingdom Come at all.
You keep saying that inappropriate word, and I would prefer it if you would just say
Kingdom. Kingdom-jism. Sorry, I apologize. I know we are long past fiefdoms, and we are a democratic republic. And so I'll refrain from speaking of the monarchy.
Thank you. That's all I got for you.
Okay.
I'm now ready to get into what we're talking about today, which is Echo. It's based here where Alex and I both are in Oklahoma. And I don't remember signing my life rights away because my first job, true story, when I got to Oklahoma, was at a roller rink.
Oh, was it really?
Yep.
At Skateland?
Starskate?
Yeah.
Which is shut down now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of course it is.
I know. Real tragedy.
I actually know the old owner and I know why.
Yeah, yeah.
And fuck the landlord there.
Yes. I read that whole story. Yeah. It sucks because like that place was like a Norman institution as well too.
That guy's actually a good buddy of mine. And
yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that.
It sucks. Like that was also like the place still for like middle school, like field trips to go as well. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It sucks.
But let me also say the roller rink in this show looks nothing like any roller rink that I've ever seen.
I'll say this. I don't know about you, but like,
yeah, you do.
But when like, whenever people like said in Oklahoma, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like that automatically raises a show's points, like 5 points in my book.
Is Oklahoma football the most talked about football team in Marvel television shows?
Yes. 100%. There's OU stuff, throughout Echo, and OU is now canon in the MCU more than any other college football program.
Yeah. Suck it. Everybody else.
Exactly.
I feel like somebody else is wearing an Oklahoma shirt at a different show.
Maybe. I know in this show,
like Biscuit was wearing. Like in a Thor type of a thing.
Yeah. I think you might have been right. Yeah.
Because
Oklahoma
and Thor is a thing.
Yeah. So, but like, I love the fact that
this. Isn't it crazy that Chris Hemsworth knows that we exist?
Even though this show shot in Georgia, it still, for the most part, looked like small town Oklahoma. I felt like throughout most of it.
I mean, the rural South all looks the same. Yeah. It really does.
So what were your, before you started watching this show, what were your thoughts about an Echo TV show?
I think it's well documented on here. I had negative thoughts towards an Echo television show. That was also before I knew it was going to be a Wilson Fisk show.
Yeah.
Which made it actually really fucking cool.
I will say that like I was the same as you. I was like, I don't need an Echo TV show. I don't care about Echo really at all. Whether not just in the comics, I'm not like a huge Echo fan either.
Yeah.
But adding Fisk obviously was a great choice, but I like the show a lot more than I thought I was going to. We knew Daredevil was going to be in the show, and I think Daredevil was in it for the perfect amount for this show.
Yeah.
In the episode, spoilers for Echo, but in episode one, we see while Echo is still working for Fisk, she goes and beats up and tries to murder a bunch of guys. And then we see Daredevil jump into the fight after all the goons are beat up. Yeah. It's like, I've been watching, taking these guys out for X amount of time. And basically Echo and Daredevil fight and Echo and Daredevil basically kicks the crap out of her as well too.
Yep.
Which felt on brand, but Matt gets hit a bunch, which also feels on brand for Matt Murdock because Matt Murdock also takes a beating as well too.
Is Matt Murdock not a great fighter?
He is a great fighter, but part of what makes Matt Murdock great is
was
that
he just like because like he was
is
like,
that he is that he can take a beating.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just like his dad.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just like old dad.
Yeah.
Oh.
But
what's Matt Murdock's dad's name? Go 3, 2.
I was just thinking,
one. You're
Jack Murdock.
Oh, yep. Battling Jack, baby.
Yeah.
Yep. You got it.
I will say that. So Echo goes back to Oklahoma after her father's died and she murdered.
Is that town Fisk. A real town?
It is a real town. Okay. A real town, Oklahoma. Yeah. Tomaha, Oklahoma, or Tahama, Oklahoma. But yeah, it's a real town. Think population like 2,000, 4,000 when I look.
Well, which is it?
Same number, basically. That or double that number. Same number. And we see her interact with her family and old friends. And I really enjoy the cast of this show. We talked about it a little bit off mic, but I just finished watching the last season of Reservation Dogs, which was incredible. Everyone should watch Reservation Dogs. Basically, half the cast of Reservation Dogs is in Echo.
There's a good chunk, for sure.
Yeah. So who did you see from Reservation Dogs?
It's my boy, first and foremost, Grandpa.
Yes. We saw Alora Dannon as well too.
Yes.
But you know who we also, so this person was at the,
I bet there's a couple that I'm like,
yeah, there's Bev as well too.
Oh really?
Yeah. But the final, Mindful, but the final episode when they're at the celebration, whatever that is, and the climactic scene, and the fireworks go off.
It's a powwow.
Yes. And the fireworks go off, and we see the guy on stage like, wow, fireworks. Did you recognize who that was?
Uh-uh.
That was the spirit guide.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's my dude.
Yeah.
You mean the most absolutely intentionally hilarious dude on that Reservation Dogs?
Yeah.
He's the funniest part of that show.
Yeah. Marvel shows like tend to live and die by their casting. And I don't have anything against Echo, but I feel like she was probably the weakest actor in this show.
Yeah.
This cast, but that's because the supporting cast is great. And because, I mean, obviously Fisk is incredible as well too.
Yeah. There's also, it's not a large cast.
No, it is not a large cast. The guy that runs the roller rink, I liked him a lot too.
Yeah.
There was a fight in the roller rink when someone hits the PA system and Power Man 5000 light comes on, starts playing. I'm like, that feels like small town Oklahoma to have Power Man 5000 queued up.
Right.
At a roller. Yeah.
Yeah, we got that Power Man 5000.
I really liked the action scenes as well, too, in this.
Yeah, I mean, it was very on brand with the Daredevil vibe.
Yes, yeah. Going back to the roller rink, like, fight scene, but, like, when she takes the plastic guns from the shooting game, rips them off the cord, like, uses, like, as whips to, like, whip those bad guys, the Fisk henchmen.
You know, that would hurt like a motherfucker,
Yeah. I thought it was clever. I never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fun. And I thought I loved...
You actually see a lot of arcade fights in film and television.
Yeah.
Oddly enough. Honestly, though, like it happens not infrequently. That was one of the most clever uses of it.
I agree. And I liked the audio in this. Like, I liked how they used Echo's, like, signing, how when it was from, like, Echo's perspective, the audio would drop out a lot of times.
I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I thought that was really well done. Just overall, I like the show a lot more than I thought I was. And I think it helps also the fact last thing we watched was Madam Web. This was a very...
Oh, boy, palate cleanser.
Yes, I was going to use the exact same phrase. This is a welcome palate cleanser for Madam Web.
Yeah. It's got jokes, it's got heart, it's got action.
Yeah.
It's got everything that you'd want.
It also doesn't overstay its welcome. It is 5 episodes.
Yeah, that's, the, I think, the
longest is like 50-ish. So the shortest is around like a short 40 or like a high 30.
Oh, it's like it's mid-30s for the lowest, and it starts with like a 48-minute episode without all the credit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad. It's tight. And honestly, that would have been my biggest complaint had this gone on for 2 or 3 more episodes,
because
it doesn't need it.
Like, they learned a lesson. Like it's a high-budget show either. So I feel like if they wanted to continue Echo in Oklahoma specifically, they could do that and not have it be like break the bank or anything.
Yeah. It turns out in the story, you want to break it down some? For everybody?
Yeah. This is also a little bit of spoilers for Hawkeye as well, too, since some of the actions in here.
Probably for the upcoming... I mean, this really is going to set the scene for everything Daredevil.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the post-credit scene. Yeah.
Big time.
But Echo works for Fisk. Echo and her father, I should say, work for Fisk in New York. Her dad dies. She finds out Fisk is responsible, even though she's basically Fisk number one killer. She finds out that he killed her dad. She kills Fisk. Then she flees Oklahoma. Turns out she didn't kill Fisk, and Fisk isn't ready to let his number one asset just walk away.
Yeah.
So Fisk and his goons come to Oklahoma because Maya is bringing trouble to Fisk's goons as well too.
He basically adopts her, sort of.
Yeah.
And like helps raise her.
One thing I love too is that whenever Fisk would have an interpreter signing, as Fisk talked to Maya, that the interpreter face and body was in the shadows and we only saw their hands signing.
Yeah.
I thought that was so well done. Very on brand for Fisk as well too. But like whether it was in Fisk's studio apartment or there's Fisk inside his town car, that person was still in the shadows and we just saw their hands basically.
You know, some of the portrayals of Wilson Fisk, and I think this is one of them, I think are a little tough to believe at times. Like somebody who is unwilling and unable to go and learn, you know, that
for
that person. It's a very sad thing. And I just don't think that there's a lot of people out there that would do it, especially with as much heart as he shows.
Yeah.
To this person. So I think it's kind of a little bit of an inconsistency for you know, the level, but I think, you know, it's not totally, because this character is obviously a psychopath and a weird motherfucker. Yes,
and likes control as well too.
Yeah, yeah.
He likes to, he was obviously close to Maya. Like he viewed Maya as a surrogate daughter.
Well, I mean, I think if you're having an interpreter, I think that that's showing some level of power. Like,
yes,
I don't necessarily
power, but yes. Like, yeah. 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 I think really, as we saw with Daredevil, the only person that Fist truly loved and cared about was Vanessa.
Yeah, truly. I think that there's a more than a soft spot for Echo.
Yes. Yet, yeah, I agree.
Clearly. But not enough.
But Vincent D'Onofrio is just still so incredible.
Oh my God. Wilson the Fisk. Steals every scene, yes. Steals every episode that he's in.
And it's what I love about his portrayal as Fisk is that he completely chews up and eats the scenery, but he never feels like he's playing the character over the top at all.
Yeah.
It feels very controlled, very purposeful as well too.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I honestly think that the best Marvel villains came out of the Netflix TV shows with Fisk and David Tennant's Purple Man.
He's come a long way. Wilson Fisk has, since he was playing NHL 94 with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, so what were your general thoughts on Echo after watching the show?
Well, I mean, I can't get into that without really talking about the mid-credit scene where we discover that the mayoral race for New York is kind of up for grabs.
Yes.
And very clearly we've got old boy getting into it. So I'm excited leaving the show for Daredevil.
Especially because Fisk being the mayor of New York is a major storyline in the comics for years as well too.
Yeah, sure.
It even plays into Luke Cage as well too. I don't know if they have plans to bring Luke Cage back, but I think there's rumors that Jessica Jones might come back.
Yeah, there's rumors that Jay Jones is coming back. She posted, Kristen Ritter posted a photo of the outfit.
Yeah.
I think Luke Cage would be the next logical.
Yeah, yeah. And David Tennant said he wants to play the Purple Man again.
Yeah, he's into it.
We've already seen that Netflix obviously is holding true to what people love so far, at least we think so, about the Netflix shows. We're obviously not only bringing D'Onofrio and Charlie Cox back, but bringing Elden Henson back, bringing back What's-Her-Face from True Blood as well, too. I can't remember her name for the life of me.
What's her name?
But Karen Page is a character.
Blood. Yeah. Wow. Brutal.
Oh, do you remember her name?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely exactly. Not. And I barely know Elden Henson.
Yeah.
And I only know that because it's a fucking weird name. It's
you watched Mighty Ducks 10,000 times.
You would think, but that's not why. I did not learn that name until I was an adult man liking Steely Dan and Bruce Springsteen.
The only two artists you need to know.
Yeah. Nothing else throughout all the rest of my records.
Yeah. Yeah. You burned them all.
Yeah. Thousands and thousands of dollars.
When you're doing the guest room challenge on Instagram, what we didn't see was you just taking, then packing it up and just dropping in the trash can.
Oh, yeah. Anytime I would post one, I'd burn it.
Yeah.
I listened to it the one time. That's enough for me.
Yeah. That's too much.
Yeah.
What are they going to say? Who knows?
I don't know. I did post some really cool stuff on there. There's some Daniel Klaus cover records.
You had that Sleater Kinney on there record.
Yeah.
They're coming to Tulsa too.
They actually already came to Tulsa and I didn't know about it.
Yeah, they came last year to Tulsa.
They came on Tuesday.
Oh, was that Tuesday already? Yep. Yeah. When they can play Canes fairly often. So,
I'll make sure I'm there next time. Their new album, if you haven't heard it, called Little Rope by Sleater Kinney. Very good. The lead track on there, Hell, is fucking awesome. It's a good, great record. Go listen to it.
This is now a Riot Girl podcast. We're going to talk about Bratmobile next episode.
Rebel Girl! Rebel!
We'll never talk about Leti Gray, though.
Over my dead body.
Anyways,
would I rate this?
Yeah, let's get 1 to 10.
Oh, 1 to 10 scale.
I was going to rate it on a scale of bananas
to apple.
Yeah. Oh my God, what's weird is I was going to say bananas as well, too.
This is a 8.5. It's good.
Yeah.
And that honestly is probably closer to like a 7.5, 8. But because of what we just watched, it's an 8.5 for me.
I'm right with you. I'm at an 8. Yeah. I think it was enjoyable.
Fair.
The perfect length, not too long. Okay. I will say this. The one thing I really didn't like was I liked that Maya had this connection to all of our, we talked about this, but all of our ancestors throughout history.
I love this.
And I love the opening scenes and of the different ancestors.
And seeing them as like wooden people.
Exactly. I love all that.
Great.
I did not love Maya giving her friend and her grandmother magic fighting powers for 20 seconds. And then
it was weird.
And then putting her hand on Fisk, and we got to see Fisk the flashback with his dad, but him being like, "What'd you do to me?" Well, we also don't know what Maya did as well, too.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. And Fisk is not going to be some reformed person in Daredevil at all.
Also, here's the thing. How do you expect her to tell you, my friend?
How
do you expect?
Yeah, great. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That was my one thing that, like, I really liked all the show, but I thought that was a questionable choice right there at the end. But anyways, the show's 100% worth watching.
Yep. I would say it's beyond watchable. It's very enjoyable and good.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're not spending a lot. You will spend less time watching the show than probably any other show on your watch list too.
Yeah. It's about the length of Dune 2.
Yeah.
It's a little longer than Dune 2.
Yeah. And just as expensive to make.
Honestly?
Yeah.
It probably. Yeah.
Wilson, Vincent D'Onofrio's salary is exactly equal to Zendaya's salary.
Dune 2 must have been so fucking expensive to make.
Yeah.
It's worth every penny.
Because he refused to film in any place that had sand.
You know, they also filmed that in Georgia.
Yeah.
They filmed Dune 2 in Georgia.
He made them bulldoze entire city blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Just to fill it with sand.
Yeah. Denny is a madman.
Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't care. He's French, I think. Maybe. I don't know if he is.
His name's Denny Villeneuve, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I'm guessing he's French as well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, it's just the French is planning to destroy America from the Hollywood film industry.
Well, we have Captain America's shield on the table with us, and sure. I'm ready to fight Denny Villeneuve. And I think that does it for us.
Yeah. Next episode, we're going to be talking about Master of the Universe Revelation. We talked about the
season
first
two.
Yes, I think the first one had a different subtitle after it, but I can't remember. But anyways, it's a continuation of the Kevin Smith Netflix Master of the Universe TV show that we both enjoyed the first season. Yeah. There are 5 episodes on Netflix right now. You should watch them before the next episode. I know we're going to, because it'd be a terrible episode if we didn't.
Well, get ready for a terrible episode, everybody.
Well, what else to do? but for the Henchman of Comics, I'm Alex Dashback.
And I'm Stolen Daniel.
Hinge and easy.